So the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 7. At that time Jesus, going out of the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well, he hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Please be seated. For Jesus Christ, I am prepared to suffer more. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I mentioned, I just got off retreat. The retreat was preached by Father Rostan, the district superior. He preached a retreat based on the spirituality of St. Teresa of Avila, based on her idea, her desire to see God. And it was interesting to see that was something that became the basis of her life. For St. Teresa of Avila, early on in her life, she had a great desire to get to heaven. She had a great desire to see God. She had mentioned that the only way to see God was to die, and so therefore we need to get to heaven. And then during the middle of her life, she kind of got caught up with the world, and that is where we have the famous instance of our Lord showing to her a place in hell, where she would eventually end up if she didn't change her life. And so then after that, as she puts it, she had another conversion, to convert back then to maybe to that desire that she had as a young child, a desire to truly see God. And so that's what became then the motto or the basis of her life, God alone suffices. And so that is how she lived her life. Especially after, you know, as I say, after that second conversion for her. And so she went through in trying to change the Carmel. That's where we have the famous, you know, where the Carmelites had made their change back, because she had seen how they had slipped away from truly focusing on Almighty God. And so Father Rostan, in presenting that to us in his conferences, obviously wanted us to examine our priesthood, our spiritual life, our apostolate, the work that we do, and trying to focus on the desire to see God. And if we have that desire, well then we're able to give that to the faithful that are entrusted to our care. And so he wanted us then to have that great desire, so that therefore we could give it to the faithful. It's interesting, in the retreat he quoted for us a priest, Father Edward Pope, a Belgian priest, who is one that promoted the Eucharistic Crusade in Belgium. He was also one that he had seen very clearly that he wanted his spiritual life to be the main focus of his priesthood. And it is through this spiritual life that he was able to live his priesthood. Because for him, obviously, as a seminarian, you're given the spiritual life, you're given the idea of how you should try to form your own spiritual life so therefore you can give it to others. But then a lot of times, as you become ordained a priest, you lose sight of that because of the work that is out there, the busyness of it. And so he was very dedicated in making sure that would not happen, to the point that some of the other priests thought he was a bit of an idealist. They thought, well, that's not really possible and what we have to do. But for him, he was committed to that because he realized the importance of his spiritual life and then being able to give it then to the faithful. We have the famous axiom, one does not give what he does not have. And so he made that a resolution to the point that he had himself a little model that he lived by. He said to work is good, so the work is obviously the apostolate. He said to pray is better. To sacrifice, to suffer is the best. And so that is how then he lived his life. And so he was able to accomplish quite a bit. As I mentioned, just even with the Eucharistic Crusade, forming the whole society of that for the children in Belgium, organizing that. He organized all these different things to where other priests had seen the amount of work that he could do. And it was based on the fact of his spiritual life. This desire to see God, of putting things in his proper priority. And so that is something that all of us, we can examine in our own lives. Yes, we have our work. We have the things that we have to try to do. But again, we have to place things in its proper priority. We have to see what is important for our own lives. And that is why, and then tying it in with obviously the pilgrimage as we approach it quickly, we have tried to examine, to try to see the spirit of a pilgrim. What does it take to try to make a pilgrimage well? And that is why we selected for the t-shirts itself this quote from St. Maximin Kolbe that I mentioned at the very beginning. For Jesus Christ, I'm prepared to suffer more. And not in just the walking of the pilgrimage itself in the heat or whatever. As I mentioned, it is the whole spirit that we should have behind being a true pilgrim. A one realizing that our world is not this world that we're in, that we are meant for the next world. And so therefore, yes, we are willing to offer more to God. We are willing to give more to Him, to suffer more in whatever capacity. Whether the crosses and the trials that God sends to you on a daily basis, whether the pilgrimage itself, but to have, in a sense, that mentality or that idea, that true spirituality of understanding and accepting what God gives to us and being able to offer that back. And truly that is what separates the saints, in a sense, from all of us. It was that desire. That desire just to offer the things back to God in their capacity. And that is why then, as I mentioned time and time again with the pilgrimage itself, it doesn't matter how much you walk of it. It all boils down to what kind of spirit you have behind it. And that spirit is what will then be able to help us in our daily lives. Because if we're able to accept the things as they come from God and give them back to God, obviously easier said than done because of the crosses and trials that God sends to us. But if we're able to at least to try to give that back to God in a spirit of resignation, that is the life that the saints lived. And that's where you can see, even with the saints, they were human too. I mean, here you have a Saint Teresa of Avila. Yes, early in her life, she desired to see God. But then she lost that. She lost it, or at least in a sense it was taken away from her because of the cares and the things of this world. That she desired those things much more. Until God woke her up by showing her a place in hell. Her oven. And that woke her up. You would think that it would wake up any of us. And so yes, that woke her up to see, okay, this is not what I should be going after. There are more important things in my life. And so then from there, then she turned, yes, I need to focus on God. That's why she has the famous bookmark of St. Teresa. And what it ends, that God alone suffices. Nothing else really matters in life except God. And if we focus on that, if we understand that, well, then a lot of the crosses and the trials and the cares that we have in this life, we see what they amount to. And that is why you see the mentality of the saints to say, okay, I'm willing to suffer more. Why? One, because they know that the grace of God is there for them. They're not doing it on their own. That they are willing to take that on because if God sends it, well, he's also going to send the grace. And so, therefore, having that mentality, having that understanding, well, then they can do more. But as I say, with St. Teresa, she shows very clearly, I mean, there is the human side to all of the saints, the weaknesses, the sufferings, the difficulties that they underwent. In order to get to that point, and so that is why it is possible for all of us to become saints. That is why God has created us. He has created us to see him. And so that is why with St. Teresa, her famous, I want to see God, that is something that all of us should be saying. That is something all of us should be trying to live. And as I say, that is what can separate us from the saints. In some ways, we almost think that it's too hard to become a saint, that it's not possible for us. But that's basically telling God that he can't do all things. And so God has created every single one of us to come back to him, to see him face to face, and that is the whole idea of what St. Teresa is mentioning. I want to see God. I want to see the beatific vision. I want to be in heaven. And so that is why then we have to pray for this grace. And as Father Rostand gave us in our conferences, they were very good conferences, but he gave to us this whole understanding that we have to examine and we have to see where does our spiritual life lie. You know, does it lie in terms of trying to get to God? Or is it something that we just clearly just go through the motions and that's it? And so that's why tying it again with the pilgrimage itself, I said to you before that the pilgrimage gives us a sense of the journey that we're on. It shows to us the path that we need to be taking and going toward. And so that is why in reality, when you start off and walk the pilgrimage itself, yes, it can be very hot. It can be very hard. But by walking that, you see that we are making this journey towards God. And even though once on Saturday, if we end going up to the shrine to have Mass, we've completed the pilgrimage, it is a taste for going toward God. And that's why I say, whatever way you can help in the pilgrimage is your way of taking part in trying to get toward God. It sounds simple. It almost sounds too simplistic. But it's a reality for us to see. I mean, that is the whole purpose behind the pilgrimages. That is why the church has always done pilgrimages. It is one, to go to give thanks to Almighty God for the graces he has given to us, which we have many to be thankful for. It is also a means for us to ask for intentions, petitions. It is a way for us to focus on that as we walk, as we unite ourselves with all of the pilgrims, if we can't walk it. But that is why the church has always done a pilgrimage. It is this means and help to show to us that we must go back to God. And so I think as we come to these final days before the pilgrimage, as I mentioned, one, to sign up for the pilgrimage or to help in whatever capacity you can, to offer your services. But at the very least, that every single one of us can unite ourselves to that pilgrimage. Every single one of us on Friday and Saturday can be a part of what is taking place. And that is the beauty of it for us. It is the uniting in terms of the spirit that we have in terms of the pilgrimage. And so I encourage you to try to think about that, to think about what the saints have said. St. Maximum Kolbe, that he's prepared to suffer more. This Father Pope, a very holy priest, you know, to give us the understanding to work is good, to pray is better, but to sacrifice and to suffer is the best. Of that offering to Almighty God. And so that is what we look at in terms of the saints' lives, is what will help us then in reaching the same goal that they reached. I mean, God calls us in different ways, but he all calls us to the same place. We have different paths, different ways. Remember, I mentioned to you, if you remember back on the pilgrimage, when I gave you the sermon on the pilgrimage of Santiago. But the seashell itself, with all the different kind of grooves in it, it shows the different paths, the different ways that people take to that one point. And that is the same way with our lives. God has different paths for us, different ways. We all come from different paths. But it all focuses on that one point again, to come to God. And that is what he's calling to for all of us too. And so let us unite ourselves and let us pray for that grace. Let us pray that we do have that desire to see God. So I'll leave you with a bit of a longer quote from St. John Vianney. He was obviously the patron of parish priests. His feast day was his last Wednesday, which was nice to be able to be on retreat for his feast. It really gave you a good sense, an idea of the life that he lived. So I just want to quote to you something that he had said in a sermon. But it shows to us the idea of the saints and the idea of sufferings. My dear Christians, are we not astonished at what the saints have suffered, the patience which they exhibited in all this suffering, at the longing which they showed for crosses and sufferings? And we complain when we have to suffer a little. We bear with impatience the slightest adversity sent to us from God. Let us remember that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. And let us bear the little sufferings which God sends us with patience and submission, so we may by this, like the saints, obtain the everlasting joys of heaven. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.